about the pathways we can take as the people of God to have the commendation of the Lord and that reward that He is offering, that He's promising to bring with it. There are pathways, I believe, beloved, set before us in the Word of God. If we take them, I believe it'll be the happiest pathways for us today while we're here. And then I believe they'll be the most profitable pathways in view of the judgment seat of Christ. Now, there are rewards. There are a number of crowns. Let us turn to 2 Timothy, please, and we'll read a verse or two here in chapter 4. There are a number of crowns mentioned, and we're not going to take time to consider them in detail. We do want to mention them before we consider the pathways. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and the apostle says in verse 6, I am now ready to be offered. And by the way, these are the last words of this dear servant of God. He's at the end of his pilgrimage. He's ready to be offered. He realizes death is near. And he says, the time of my departure is at hand. He's going away. He's going away to a better land. You know, it's a wonderful thing. We Christians, we know where we're going. And we know as well where our dear Christian brethren and sisters who've gone on before have gone. My departure is at hand. Now he says, I have fought a good fight. I'm sure it wasn't with one another. You know, the Christian army is the only army that turns the guns upon one and upon themselves, upon what their own people. And that's really a disgrace, isn't it? But he says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Three times I have. Now, beloved, he's not boasting. He's merely stating facts here. These things are true of this dear man. He had fought the good fight. He'd finished his course. He had kept the faith. And now he says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge. And we should notice that. He's the righteous judge. Sometimes, you know, we judge one another, and we can do it in a very unrighteous way, but not the Lord. He is the righteous judge, and he shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. I wonder, do we love His appearing? You know, there's a difference in looking for and loving, isn't there? His appearing. I remember as a young lad, I used to get into mischief quite regularly. I don't know why, but it just seemed that if there was mischief, I could get into it. I'm still a little inclined that way, I guess, but you know, my dad used to work hard, and he'd come home sometimes early, sometimes late. I loved my dad. Sometimes I looked for his coming, but I didn't love it. Because, you know, Mother would tell Dad, and then Dad would have to administer some of Solomon's cure at times. You know, it was possible to look for and not love the appearing of your parents. Are we looking for? Are we loving the appearing of the Lord Jesus? I think loving might suggest a joyful anticipation of His appearing and, of course, a life of faithfulness and obedience because of such an expectation. But here we have a crown of righteousness. And that will be given, says Paul, to all those that love His appearing. Now, in 1 Corinthians 9, he speaks about an incorruptible crown, and that will be given to those who, by the help of the Holy Spirit, seek to keep the body under control and allow the Holy Spirit to have his way in their lives. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, it's a crown of rejoicing. And that will be a worthwhile crown, the soul winner's crown. Over in the Epistle of James, we have in chapter 1, a crown of life. Blessed is he that endureth trial. Not one that runs away, not tries to get out from under them, but allows the trials the Lord sends in our lives to work and to accomplish the purpose. He says, they shall have the crown of life. And then Peter speaks in 1 Peter of the crown of glory for the shepherds of the flock, those that care for the sheep. Thank God for dear brethren and sisters who have shepherd hearts among the people of God, who are concerned, who pray, who seek to be examples and seek to lead, and we're to esteem them very highly for their work's sake. And the Lord is going to see that they get a crown of glory. Now, so much for the crowns. I want you to turn over to Matthew's Gospel, and we're just going to read a few verses, and we consider these, I would like to suggest, five pathways we may take as believers in our journey heavenward and homeward. Matthew chapter 5, and I want you to read with me at verse 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Now, beloved, I believe we have a pathway here that God would have us to walk, and it is a pathway to greatness. We have those who do and teach, and then we have those who break the commandments. I believe it reminds us, beloved, that God's word is very sacred. God's word is very important. And God's word is not going to be forgotten by him. God has given us his word, and he wants us to use it to, as a chart, as a guidebook, as a compass for the journey of life in every area of our lives. We should seek the precepts of the Word of God, and we should seek to be guided by them. Now, if we neglect the Word of God, or if we reject it, or if we disobey it, well, I think we see here that we're going to lose out in that day that is to come. Who are the great in the eyes of the Lord, and according to his Word here? They are those who obey his word. And, of course, the least are those who disobey. He would have us to do and teach. And if we do and teach, why, I think we'll find in the coming day, we'll have his commendation, his approval. You remember the words of Mary at the wedding in Cana of Galilee, words that were surely words of wisdom addressed to the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And beloved, how we need to hear such a word. You remember again that Peter said on one occasion in the book of Acts as he stood before the rulers, we ought to obey God rather than men. And so, beloved, we're to take the word of God. Oh, we're not just to take those portions we like, you know. We're to allow the word of God and the teachings of that word to be the mold, to mold us. And if we do and teach, then we'll not be ashamed in that day to come. Now turn over to the 20th chapter of the same gospel, and we'll read again. The 20th chapter, and I want you to read in at verse 20. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children, with her sons worshipping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? She saith unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom. You see, she's got the day of his reign before her in view. All right, come down now in that same chapter, verse 25, and Jesus called them unto him, that is his disciples, and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion or lord it over their people, and they that are great exercise authority upon them, but it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister or servant. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant, or the word is slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Now, I believe here we have the pathway of humility. You know, beloved, there must be special seats. There must be seats that are reserved seats for those who are to be specially honored. And I believe that is what we have here, suggesting that God is going to have reserved seats for some. Are we going to be qualified? That's the question. Well, what we learn here about qualification is to be marked by humility. It is loving the first seat, preeminence, that disqualifies us from that position of honor in a day to come. You remember in the Epistle of John, the third Epistle of John, we have a man called Diotrephes, and we're told that he loved to have the preeminence. And I suggest that that man had disqualified himself, if you will. He disqualified himself from a position of honor because of his love to be preeminent down here. Now, his love of preeminence caused him to act in a very unchristlike way toward some of his brethren. You remember, he rejected them, wouldn't have them, cast them out. And I suppose likely there was envy and jealousy behind that. But how opposite is such love of preeminence, of first place, to the Lord Jesus? Oh, you think of how he, whose right it was, honor, glory, dignity, and yet he took upon himself the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. He became obedient, even unto death, and that the death of the cross. Oh, listen, beloved, he is the pattern of humility. But here we learn, beloved, that we are to be willing, and yea, we are to take the low place if we would be great, says the Lord Jesus. Be the servant. if we would be chief, be the slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto. He came not to serve, to be served, but to minister, to serve, and in that pathway to give his life, to give his life. Oh, beloved, there was the perfect servant, even unto death. What an example we have here of humility. Somebody has said that there's lots of room at the bottom of the ladder. Everybody wants to be at the top. Oh, God, help us to be marked by that humility that is like his humility, at least in a measure, because that is the pathway, as we learn here, to a true greatness and blessing. And I think that it's interesting, and I read these words, verse 21, for this purpose, beloved, of noticing the mother of Zebedee's children was speaking about the day of reigning. And it is in this context that the Lord tells us, if you want to be great, take the low place. Take the place of humility. Be a servant. Be a slave among the people of God, even as the Son of Man. Our perfect example came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. All right, now let us turn to the Epistle of Timothy. 2 Timothy, please. And I want you to read part of chapter 2. This is a very important chapter, I'm sure. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we'll read in it the first verse. Thou therefore, my son, be strong. How? How can we be strong? Be strengthened in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman, or I believe another rendering there is the hard-working farmer, laboring, must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember, Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead, according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble, as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Now, I believe what we have brought before us here, beloved, is a pathway of faithfulness to the Word of God. You see, what he's setting before us here, or setting before this young man, Timothy, and then before us, is that he was to be a link in a chain. We have the Christian's responsibility here. I think we have true apostolic succession, if you will, and it is a teaching succession. The Word of God says, Paul, that I passed on to you, you're to pass on to others, who shall instruct others also. And so you see the very same message that Paul had preached, the truths he had proclaimed to Timothy, were to go to another group and then from another group. And so the word of God was to be faithfully spread abroad. You know, we're living in a day, beloved, and of course I think we all realize that the coming of the Lord must be very, very near. But you know, we're living in a day when many of the truths that cost our fathers much from the Word of God are being let go. And we need to lay hold of the Word of God, and God wants us, as He was here through Paul instructing Timothy, to walk a pathway of faithfulness to the Word of God. Now, what did Paul preach? What is he referring to here? The things that thou hast heard of me. I believe that there was a message, Christ the only Savior. And then I believe there was another message, beloved, Christ the only Center. And it's a wonderful thing to get a hold of these precious truths from the Word of God and to faithfully maintain them in a day when it just seems in so many places these precious truths are being relinquished, they're being let slip. Oh, the apostle says, the same commit thou to a faithful man. You know, beloved, the New Testament truths for the first century are the very truths that God has given us to carry out in the last century before the Savior comes. And I sometimes think of it this way. Or if we were to read Acts 2, if we were to read the book of the Acts and think of the history of the church, we could think about their preaching. And Acts chapter 2, they were proclaiming, and through the book of Acts, repentance and salvation, the gospel of the grace of God. If we'd asked Peter, or any of the apostles, why do you preach that way? I'm sure, beloved, they'd have said, well, the Lord told us. If we'd asked them why they baptized believers, and by the way, they baptized them all, didn't they? No unbaptized believers in the New Testament Scripture. I'm sure again, Peter had said, well, we got that from the Lord. He told us that we were to make disciples and we were to mark them by the waters of baptism. And you know, we could go on down the list. Or we could ask them, now, why do you believers meet Lord's Day after Lord's Day to break bread? You know, I was in a home last night and we heard a man giving us quite a lecture as to why we should be keeping Sabbath Saturday and not the first day of the week. The dear man has missed such a wonderful truth, hasn't he? The first day of the week is the glorious day of our Savior's triumphant resurrection. And it was on the first day of the week that they came together to break bread. Acts chapter 20. And some dear people just think that they've got to stay away back under the days of the law. Keep Saturday, the first day of the week. Thank God for that day when we gather. Why did we do it? Oh, listen, beloved. It is because it's His Word, and the Lord would have us to be faithful in carrying out His Word. Oh, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And I believe, beloved, they would have said, look, we're doing this because the Lord asked us to do it. And let us have such conviction. Oh, listen, beloved, I believe we need such convictions today. If we're going to carry on, and if we're going to carry on according to the Word of God. Now, this is the pathway of faithfulness. And there seems to be a threefold faithfulness here in this portion. In verse 4, It's the pleasing of him who hath chosen us to be a soldier. And so it's faithfulness to the Lord Jesus as the captain, if you will, or as the Lord. Soldiers just don't do what they want to do. They do what they're ordered to do. And it's a faithfulness to him. All we want to please him. You know, it isn't just a case of I have to. I believe, beloved, it should be our delight to do what is pleasing to him. Oh, did he say, this do for a remembrance of me until I come? Yes, he did. Did he say that we should be baptized? Did he say one of these things, one after another? Yes, beloved. Oh, then, I want to please him. It isn't a case of, well, I'm under a law. No. It's the law of love, if you will. And that love should constrain us, beloved. He has loved us so much. Now, in return, I want to do what is pleasing him. To him, and as a soldier, I'm to be, as a soldier, faithful to his captain. So we should be faithful to the Lord Jesus as our Lord. But then in verse 5, if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully or according to the rules. Now here, of course, it's faithful as an athlete to the rules. Yes, again, athletes, if they're in a contest of some kind or another, they're not just free to carry on the game or the contest in any way they like. They've got to obey the rules or be disqualified. And, of course, that would remind us again that we are to be faithful to his word as our chart, as our guidebook. But then he speaks about the husbandman in verse 6. And I believe that would remind us, beloved, that we're to be faithful in our service. It is the husbandman that laboreth. I like the rendering, I'm just not sure at this moment whose it was, the hard-working farmer. You know, there are gentlemen farmers and there are hard-working farmers. When I was young, we were on the farm, and it was from daybreak until dark. You were glad to roll into bed, and you'd start again before daybreak. The hard-working farmer. Farming's hard work. And this isn't the gentleman farmer. This is the hard-working farmer, and he wants us, beloved, to be faithful as we labor, as we serve him. You know, in that day, it's not going to be well done, good and successful servant, and well done, good and popular servant, but well done, good and faithful servant. Now, come down for a moment. Notice the last part of verse 12. Well, read the whole verse. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. I wonder how the Lord feels in glory if we deny him now. Deny him by refusing to obey him, by failing in the pathway of faithfulness to his word and service and so on. All right. How will we feel in that day if he denies us? What do you mean by denying us? I believe, beloved, the thought is denying us a reward. You see, he's going to give us a reward according as our work. In other words, we'll get it if we've earned it. But if we haven't earned it, we will not receive it. Over in this same epistle in chapter 4 and verse 11, we read these words, only Luke is with me. Now, I think that's interesting. Why did he remain with the apostle? Well, that word faithfulness comes from the same word from which we get the word convinced. Convinced. Now, if you turn back to the Gospel of Luke and notice the first few verses, he was writing those things that were most surely believed. Oh, here was a man, and he was convinced. Here's a man, he was convicted that this was the truth of God, and as a result, that man was marked by a faithfulness. Now, I want you to notice another pathway. Turn over to the book of Revelation again, chapter 3. And I believe that these different pathways may kind of go together, and I'm going to tie them together with the last one. I have five, and this is the fourth one. And the time's slipping away, so we'll just notice this one quickly. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And I suppose most of us, when we were young, thought this was a gospel verse, and it certainly is a verse that can be used in the gospel. But it's not a gospel verse. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. The Lord is speaking to his own. And it's a sad picture, that Laodicean church, isn't it? Rich, increased with goods, having need of nothing in their own reckoning, and yet in the reckoning of the Lord so different, and he's outside. And he says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Now, I believe the pathway here is the pathway of loyalty. Loyalty to Christ. Oh, we have two thrones here, his throne and mine. My heart and his throne. My heart is the throne that he wants to occupy. And what he's saying is here, in effect, can I sit on the throne of your heart? Will you enthrone me there? Oh, if you will enthrone me there, I will let you sit on my throne then. Just think of that. Oh, how the Lord values our faithfulness to him, beloved, our loyalty to him. And I think it's interesting that this is a call to individuals. I wonder, is our heart open to him? I wonder, beloved, is he Lord there? Do we recognize, do we submit to him and his authority, the authority of his word? Oh, not just at meeting. What about our home? What about our hearts? Are we owning his lordship? If he were to come today to our home, would he find all things ordered in a way that is pleasing to him? This, I believe, is the day for us to declare our heart loyalty to him. And if we were to turn now to 1 John, we would see the value of such loyalty and heart obedience when we are marked by such loyalty. Then our heart will not condemn us, and we'll be able to pray and expect his blessing. But I must close because the time's gone. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians, please. And we'll notice the last one that we had, the last pathway we wanted to mention. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And I wouldn't say for a moment that this is the last, and I haven't put these in any order of priority. I'm just, this one is a very important one too. Verse, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, and we'll read in at verse 8, I believe. For now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith.
Now, God Himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love toward one, toward another, one toward another, and toward all, even as we do toward you, to the end He may establish, Mr. Darby renders that, confirm. To the end He may confirm your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. Now here, of course, is the pathway of love. You know, this is a very, very important. Oh, listen, we've spoken about obedience. It is love that gives obedience warmth. You know, the Lord wants our obedience to be the obedience of love. Delighting to obey His word. Delighting to do what is pleasing to Him. Not because, well, if I don't do this, the brethren are going to say something to me. No, no, no. Oh, beloved, I say it is love that makes obedience what it ought to be. And again, it is love that makes humility real. You see, if it's the humility that comes from a loving heart, it will indeed be genuine. And then it's love that gives faithfulness value. Oh, beloved, it is love that must be the moving power behind all of these pathways that we've suggested. And I believe it's love that secures faithfulness eternal, or loyalty's eternal reward. Now, confirmed unblameable. How? By abounding in love. Oh, listen, beloved, you remember back in the epistle to Timothy, chapter 1, 1 Timothy, it was the absence of love out of a pure heart that led step by step away in a pathway that would be a pathway of departure. And you remember the problems in the assembly or the church at Corinth. What was the answer to those problems? Love. Love wasn't operating. Oh, listen, is love operating among us as the people of God? Do we have hard feelings toward any of our brethren? You know, sometimes we allow things like that and they're grieving to the Spirit of God. And they hinder the working of the Spirit of God among us. And it should be an exercise on the part of all of us to be manifesting love. Why? Because we have been loved. Oh, how much we have loved. How much of grace has been shown to us. Beloved, we should never be ungracious or unloving to any of God's people. And then again, you remember, love is the manifestation, the proof that I am really one of His disciples. But here, it is love that secures, oh, that is going to secure, according to that verse, now I've lost it, and to the end that He may establish your heart unblameable in holiness. Apart from love, beloved, I can't be confirmed unblameable before the Lord at His coming. Because you'll notice again, it is at the coming of our Lord Jesus. Oh, what a day that's going to be. A day when my motives, my heart, my action, my words, my deeds, all are going to be examined. There are pathways we can walk. Oh, walk that pathway of love. Walk that pathway of obedience. Walk that pathway of loyalty, that pathway of faithfulness. Beloved, if you do, when He comes with His reward, He'll have a reward for you. The Lord just bless this, His word to our heart. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank Thee again for the privilege that has been ours of spending a little time together, not only in prayer, and Lord, what a privilege it is to pray. We're reminded of this in the hymn we were singing, what a friend we have, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. We know, Lord, that everything that concerns us concerns Thee. And so we do thank Thee for the privilege of praying and then for the privilege of being able to open the Word of God. We thank Thee we live in a land and we're in a land where we have this great privilege and none to hinder us. Oh, may we appreciate, esteem this privilege, and may Thy Word become increasingly important to us. And oh, Father, may it indeed be the aim, the goal of each heart to so order our lives according to the Word of God that when we meet the Savior, He will indeed have that He may come in and for which He may give us a reward. Oh, Father, we don't want to be careless about these things. What a tragedy to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and to find our lives were wasted because we failed to obey or we failed to love. Oh God, help us, we pray, as we commend us to Thee now. Bless again the dear ones journeying homeward on the seas. Preserve them and keep them. Bless each one of us. Bless the sick. Bless Thy word, Lord, to the ends of the earth. We commend us all to Thee again in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.